just a prayer as we stand. Lord, open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you very much indeed, Anne, for your welcome. It's always a pleasure to come and visit you at HBC. As I think most of you know, Liz, my wife, often comes with me, but she is busy playing in the band this morning at our church, so she sends her love and apologies that she can't be here. It's always a pleasure to go around preaching in different places, but one thing I don't like is what Anne did when she invited me to come this Sunday, and that's when she said, oh, preach on anything you like. Have you seen the size of the Bible recently? And I found in the past that I've wasted so much time thinking, oh, well, I'll preach on that, and I'll do an hour on that. No. Then I'll do an hour on this. No. And before I know it, you know, the time is just drifting away, and I'm suddenly under pressure. So what I've tended to do now, when people say, preach on anything you like, I go straight to the Psalms and pick a psalm. I'd much prefer to be told exactly what to preach on. This is the passage, this is the topic, get on with it. But when I'm not told to get on with it like that, I go to the Psalms. And the Psalms are wonderful. Somebody once said of the Psalms, in fact, I think it's also been said of the whole of Scripture, but somebody once said of the Psalms, they are like an ocean in which a child can paddle and an elephant can swim. In other words, there is such depth and wonder in the Psalms that no matter who you are, you can get something out of the Psalms. You can hear the voice of God. You can receive godly, down-to-earth, practical wisdom. There is so much godly wisdom in the Psalms. And that is certainly true of the psalm that I picked this morning, Psalm 1. And so that's what we're going to look at. Now, we Brits just love talking about the weather, don't we? Perhaps because it changes so much, there's an endless supply of conversation starters, but we just love talking about the weather. But imagine if you lived in a land where the sun shone almost every day. Well, it would be quite banal, wouldn't it, to suddenly say, oh, it's a nice sunny day today, isn't it? Well, yeah, of course, it's nice and sunny every day, isn't it, you know? Well, such a land is Israel, the Holy Land. It enjoys more or less wall-to-wall sunshine from about May or April, pretty well through to October. Very unlikely to get rain during those long summer months. And even in the winter, the climate is still quite mild. And as a consequence, many parts of Israel are quite dry, arid, desolate. There's even desert in the land of Israel. And that's the image that we're presented with behind Psalm number 1. And this psalm is about how to survive in an arid, hostile climate. But actually, it's not about plants surviving in a hostile climate. It may look as if it is, but the psalms are about people, not plants. This is about us, people, surviving in an arid, hostile climate. Make no mistake, here in Britain, we are living in as far as spirituality and faith is concerned, in a fairly arid, dry climate. And I think the first question that is posed by this psalm is this: who is influencing who? Who is influencing who? Happy are those who do not walk in the steps of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord. Did you notice a pattern there? Walk, stand, sit. This is particularly relevant for young people, although we are all more easily influenced than we care to admit. Life is a journey, and we will come across many people as we go through that journey, many varied companions. Who influences who on that journey? A man, I say a man, I mean a woman, a person, I'm using the word man generically. A man begins with walking with others, just going for a walk, letting them determine the route and where you go. Nothing wrong with that, just walking with them. But then he starts to stand with them, to hang around with them. They are now influencing him more than he is influencing them. And finally, he sits down with them. He kind of makes his home amongst them. He's made his decision now. This is where he belongs. And he starts to adopt their standards and quite possibly their cynical way of thinking. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or walk in the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. You can see how this man is being led in a certain direction. The Old Testament scholar Derek Kidner, in his commentary on Psalm 1, speaks of conforming to the world on three different levels: accepting its advice, being party to its ways, and finally, adopting that most fatal of attitudes, scoffing, or as we might say today, cynicism. For Kidner says, the scoffer, whilst not the most scandalous of sinners, is probably the furthest from repentance. Now, there's a balance to be struck here, isn't there? Because whilst there are warnings in the Bible against being led astray by others, the general thrust of the New Testament is to be involved with people and to be involved with other people. Jesus himself is called the friend of sinners. He talked with them, he sat with them, he walked with them. But he was influencing them, they weren't influencing him. Big difference. If you follow social media, you'll probably know there are people today known as influencers. Apparently, about half the world's population, that's about 3.5 billion people, use social media. And many of them follow individuals who are influencers. And some of them get paid shed loads of money because so many people follow their posts and their blogs and what have you, that if they advertise something, millions of people will see it. So these influencers can become very wealthy indeed. But it just begs the question, doesn't it? We like to think of ourselves as individuals. We like to think of ourselves as having rationality, that we make up our own mind, that we're in charge of our life. But who is influencing who? And might we be under influences that we are barely even aware of? That, I think, is the first question posed by Psalm 1. Second question is this: what is nourishing you? What is nourishing you? Reading again from Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not walk in the steps of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted near streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. I don't know if some of you have been to the Holy Land, but if you have, you've probably spent at least a day maybe down in Jericho or somewhere that's desert or semi-desert like that. And you've probably seen that remarkable ribbon of green foliage snaking its way through the desert that is the River Jordan. with some greenery on either side of the river, and then beyond that, just the yellow, brown dust of desert. It's quite a sight. Near the river, they don't just survive, they flourish, for they are nourished by the water. Away from the river, nothing grows, or certainly very little. Every living thing needs to be nourished. And we need to nourish, to feed our spiritual life too, if it is survived in the parched, dry landscape of society today. So the psalmist says, read God's word and delight in it. He actually tells us to meditate on it day and night, but I think that's probably just a metaphor. I don't think we're meant to take that literally. I think it means the Bible should have a central place in our lives, and we should turn to it frequently. The Bible is our spiritual food and drink. Now, some meals are eaten slowly and leisurely. They're banquets, perhaps, and we really enjoy them. Other meals are just a quick snack. But in different ways, they both do us some good. Likewise, whether we read a big chunk of the Bible or just think of one verse and think about it on the way to work, it's all doing us good, strengthening us, nourishing us, feeding us to stay strong, spiritually strong and healthy in a hostile world. One day a child saw a dusty Bible on the bookshelf at home. So she asked her mum, "Mum, whose book is that?" And mum replied, "Oh, that's God's book." So the child said, "Well, shouldn't we give it back to him because we never read it?" Does the Bible gather dust in your home? Why not take it down, even if just for 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day, and begin to feed and nourish our spiritual life and allow God's Spirit to start to shape the way we think and therefore the way we live. So, who is influencing who? What is nourishing you, if not God's Word? And a third question this psalm poses is this: are you ready for the day of testing? Are you ready for the day of testing? Verse 4 says, the wicked are not like these trees planted by the water. The wicked are not like that, it says, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Chaff that the wind blows away. The psalmist here is referring to the practice, the ancient practice of winnowing, which I'm sure some older people might actually have seen at some point in your lives. Younger ones like me will not. But in ancient cultures, and still in some lands today, where the wheat and barley is harvested, it's brought to what's called the threshing floor, which would often be an expanse of rock nearby to the village, a communal threshing floor. And the wheat, the barley would be put on the floor and it there would be threshed or thrashed or bashed about to separate the grains from the husk, the chaff that surrounds the grain whilst it's growing. And when all that thrashing and threshing has gone on a day with a light breeze, all of this is thrown up into the air and the chaff is blown away and the heavier grains fall to the ground. It's a kind of sifting process, sorting out the wheat from the chaff. There will be testing times in life when what we are made of will be tested. Maybe thrown up in the air. Are we going to be blown away because there's no substance to our spiritual lives? Or can we stand in the day of testing? Sooner or later, we will all be tested, perhaps severely. Will we be people of substance, with roots that have been nourished by God's word and by other means of godly support and encouragement? Or will we be like chaff, rather lightweight and easily blown away? Who is influencing who? What is nourishing you? And are you ready for the day of testing? Let us pray. Lord, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit to guide and influence us in your ways. Give us a fresh desire for your word and for all other sources of godly nourishment. And strengthen us for the day of testing, that we might stand and stand firm for the truth of the good news of your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.